Harvard University is fighting a legal battle over pre-Civil War photographs of enslaved people. The photos are in the collection of Harvard's Peabody Museum, but a woman named Tamara Lanier says the two people in the photos are her ancestors. Her lawsuit against Harvard, alleging wrongful seizure and possession of the photos, brings up complicated questions of ownership. Let's bring in Max Larkin. He's been covering this for member station WBUR here in Boston. Max, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Max, can you start with just explaining the story behind these photos? What are they, and why were they taken in the first place?
Yeah, these four images are daguerreotypes, like old, early photographs, and they show a black man identified as Congo Renty and his daughter Delia. They're both stripped to the waist, and each is photographed once straight on and once in profile. And they're part of a series of daguerreotype portraits of seven enslaved people, all taken at the request of Louis Agassiz, who was a Harvard professor and a prominent naturalist. And just as Agassiz had classified fish and rocks, Agassiz was here trying to classify people. He wanted to prove a hunch that black and white people didn't share a common ancestor and that black people were in some ways intrinsically inferior to white people. So these are records of that really distasteful project, and they involved, in short, taking or abducting these people off of the plantation where they lived and posing them largely unclothed at a Columbia, South Carolina photo studio.
It's such a painful history, and we know that part of that includes erasing lineages. Family records are very hard to trace. So to that end, how do we know that Lanier is a descendant? She's been fighting to get these photos for more than a decade. What's her claim to them, and why does she want them?
Yeah, Lanier says she grew up hearing of an enslaved ancestor who was born in the Congo, known to her as Papa Renty, sort of part of her family lore. He was self-taught. He was a spiritual leader. He was a man who eventually was emancipated and lived on to vote. And as you said, Cal, American slavery did break down natural families as a habit, and so it can be really hard to establish hard genealogical ties. Lanier's attorneys say they're satisfied beyond doubt that Renty really was her great-great-great-grandfather, I think four greats. Harvard's experts are apparently a little less certain. But Lanier's claim is, in short, that the photographs depict a crime in progress against members of her family and that Harvard licenses and displays them and earns money for doing so, and that the way that they use them tends to show Renty as just a slave and not all the other things he was.
So Lanier, in this case, is represented by a prominent attorney, Benjamin Crump. Listeners may be familiar with him for representing Ahmaud Arbery's family, George Floyd's family. What is his argument in this case?
I think Crump's argument is that his more contemporary cases have deep ties to this case through the medium of the sort of underlying history of slavery. And he repeated that Renty and Delia are, in a sense, still enslaved by the way they're sort of trapped and used in Harvard's archive. So at those oral arguments, Crump said these are not just harmless images.
Instead, we are discussing the culmination of a malicious and evil scientific experiment in an attempt to legitimize the abhorrent concept that persons of color are property.
And then, Cal, at the same time, Crump was trying pointedly to tie Agassiz to Harvard, the institution, today, saying that back then they were the historical enabler of that experiment, and they're still benefiting from it now.
I see. Meanwhile, though, Harvard says they do have a right to these pictures. It's their property, and they say just because Lanier may be a descendant, that doesn't automatically grant her the right to own the photos. Legally speaking, how strong is that case?
Pretty strong. Harvard's president, Larry Bacow, made one comment on the record that has sort of ricocheted around in the conversation that he thinks the law is on the university's side here. So it's one thing for someone to argue that they didn't consent to a picture being taken. Maybe they're under 18 or the photograph violates their privacy. And there is lots of precedent for the state confiscating photographs that are themselves part of a criminal act against their subjects. But even then, that doesn't mean that the victims or their descendants get the images themselves. Harvard's lawyer Anton Mitlitsky pushed just that argument when he was pressed earlier this month by Justice Elspeth Cipher.
So why isn't this a fruit or an instrumentality of the crime?
I mean, first of all, there's absolutely no question that Renty and Delia were subject to crimes and worse than crimes. I think the question now is what is the remedy for that and whether it's a judicial remedy based in property.
And Max, what are the broader legal implications? I mean, what does it mean for the world of media if Lanier wins her case, the work of photojournalists, for example?
Well, Harvard came prepared to argue just that point. They had a supporting brief of their own that was drafted by the Massachusetts Newspaper Publishers Association and the New England First Amendment Coalition. Those two groups were clear about the painful context of these images, but they said the laws regarding image ownership work that way for a reason. Here's First Amendment Coalition Director Justin Silverman.
Imagine an editor sorting through photos of battlefields or mass gatherings. How would that editor even begin to sort out all the claims of ownership by those depicted in the images?
The result, Silverman says, would be a chilling effect in news and museums and publishing where vital photojournalism, you might think of leaked images from Abu Ghraib or photographs of crimes or massacres, aren't shared because they might prompt costly lawsuits from the people they depict.
So a lot of reasons to keep track of this case. We know you'll keep tabs on it. And for us, Max, that's Max Larkin, multimedia reporter for member station WBUR in Boston. Max, thanks for bringing us the story.
Thanks for having me.